hosts, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And a good Monday afternoon from Flowery Branch at the Falcons Complex. We welcome you to another edition of the Mike Smith Coaches Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. The Falcon general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, will join us in our second half hour here today. Atlanta will meet Buffalo on Sunday at Rogers Center in Toronto. We'll join you at 2 o'clock with AT&T's Countdown to Kickoff with J.P. Peterson and Algie Crumpler. And then the Falcons and Bills set for a 4 o'clock start in Toronto, which is, Smitty, no way you look at it, it's a little different now. Going to play a ball game in a foreign country, although you're going to do it next year, and Canada's not England, but still, yeah. you're going to a foreign country to play Sunday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, getting an opportunity to expose some people in Toronto to American football.
Sure.
I know that they get it a couple times a year, if I'm not mistaken. I think that the Bills have played some home games up there, so it should be a fun atmosphere, and at least we know what the weather's going to be.
Yeah, it'll be indoors at the Artist formerly known as Skydome. You indicated in your press comments you've already started your preparation on Doug Marrone's team, right?
Yes, and Coach Marrone, I think, has done a very nice job with the Buffalo Bill football team. Mm-hmm. They've got some young players that are playing extremely well. They've got some experienced players that are former number one draft picks, one being the number one overall draft pick at the defensive end position, and Mario Williams that is having a great great season. He's got 11 sacks through the first 11 games.
Smitty, we want to sink our teeth into the Buffalo Bills here in a few moments, but I wanted to ask you, 5 games left on the schedule. Your mindset as you move into these 5 games, what does it entail as you get ready for these last 5?
Well, we've got to win every one of them. We've got to have some really crisp practices because our preparation needs to be good each and every week. And our number one goal is to put a streak together here and finish off strong. We know that we're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but that really doesn't change our mindset at all. We've got to go out and prepare and go win this game up in Buffalo. Now we've got some young guys that have had some experience, and we're going to continue to get them. But our number one goal is to go win the football game.
The evaluation process and what that entails.
Doesn't change. You're evaluated every single day that you go out on the field as a player or as a coach. And it started back in April when we started our off-season program, and the work that you do accumulates over time, and we decide who makes the roster, who participates in ball games, and we'll continue that process. We've got some guys that have been working extremely hard. We haven't been getting the outcome that we want. Some of them have had significant playing time. Some of them haven't, and we'll continue that evaluation process. It's ongoing. It never ends.
I don't ever remember it being said to me as a player, and unfortunately I was in some situations much like you guys are in this year. I don't ever remember a coach coming in and saying, listen, your job is on the line. Because as you just mentioned, your job's on the line every time you step on the field for an NFL player. Is that something that has to be communicated, or is that something that's pretty well known? Because it was when I was playing.
It hasn't changed, Dave. We're evaluated every single time that we go out on the field, and it's ongoing. And I know this. We've told our players from day one, and I tell them every time we start the season. Doesn't matter where you were drafted, how many zeros you have on your paycheck, how many games that you've played. We're going to go through an evaluation process, and the best players that we deem as a coaching staff and as an organization are going to be the ones that are going to go out and play for us. Now, we haven't gotten the outcome that we've wanted, so we have to continue to work on that evaluation process because we're going out to win every football game.
Smitty, when you look at the evaluation process, I want to ask you this because the season is week to week, and then there's the season ends and you guys go back through and look at your season, and I know you do. You go back through and take games and do analytics and so forth like that from a coaching perspective. The ability to evaluate these guys week to week, and some because of injury to others, some because of their performance, how's your perspective on that? Is it evolving week to week? Is it easier sometimes to do it week to week, or is it harder as you move through the season, I guess?
Well, the evaluation process starts back in April.
Sure.
And you're going through that competition and you're competing against one another. You're not in pads. You don't get an opportunity
yeah, right.
to really go play the game of football. But it, you know, it's not. I don't think it's that much much different from week to week than long term. As a position coach, you might have a little different perspective than a head coach or a general manager or the player personnel department mm-hmm. has a little different perspective on it. But it's part of the process, and it doesn't really matter if you're 2-9 or 9-2, you're still going through the evaluation process. You get graded every time that you go out on the field. You get a correction sheet, and the coaches are probably harder on themselves than anybody.
Yeah. The guy who comes to mind with something like this is Paul Warlow, because here's a guy who's here as a rookie free agent. You saw him in the OTAs. You saw him in mini camps and things like that. And now because of injury, you've gotten a chance to see him on a more extended basis playing in games. And I was just thinking as you were answering that question, there's got to be, you know, the philosophy on evaluation is probably the same, but it's got to be a little different in the windows you get to see guys, right?
Oh, yeah. The windows are much shorter when you get into the regular season. And, you know, Paul is a great example of he's performed on the field and he's still has his starting job. And he got it by injury, but he's kept it by his play on the field. And that's what it's all about when you try to put your roster together is you've got to go, you know, you got to go through it and evaluate players every day that you go out on the field. And you talk about it almost daily with your coaching staff and with the personnel staff throughout the entire season.
Smitty, I want to take you back to Thursday night in the game against New Orleans. I thought there were a lot of good things that happened in the game. Obviously, there were a lot of bad things. The number one thing that was bad that happened, you didn't have as many points as the other team did, and ultimately that's what the game's about. If you can and I know you've moved on to Buffalo, can you reflect a little bit on that game, some of the things that you liked that you saw? Obviously, you know, I know you want to continue improving, getting off the field on third down and some things like that, but some of the things that you liked about the game that you saw that you can kind of build on as you move forward.
Well, we had not started fast offensively in the previous 6 weeks. I thought that the offensive coaches and the players went out and executed very precisely on the opening drive. I thought that our quarterback did an outstanding job with our no-huddle offense. Basically, when you're in that no-huddle offense, you're looking at the way that the defense is aligning,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to your playbook in the inventory of plays that you have up from that formation, and you pick based on what people are trying to do and how they align to your formation. And I thought Matt did a very good job. They were giving us a box where we could run the football. Matt got us into the right plays. It's just not just the box count. It's where they align and how we have angles. And I thought we did a very good job running the ball early. That changed as the game wore on simply because of the way that Rob Ryan started to distribute his defenders against our formations. But it was good. It was good to see Darius Johnson have a breakout game. And he won his battles. He had a good matchup in our mind, and he won his one-on-one battles. So those things were impressive on the offensive side.
When you look at the defensive side of the football, and I know third down is a big part of that equation, getting off the field on third down. You didn't do that to the level that you'd like. This is an offense that had 40 first downs the week before against Dallas.
Yeah.
And was averaging just under 30 points a game. Now, I know there's no moral victories, but talk about that side of the football a little bit and some of the positives you saw there.
Well, I thought that defensively the coaching staff put together a solid game plan. I think it was a tale of two halves in terms of third down efficiency. I believe that in the second half they only converted one third down. I think we only stopped them twice in the first half on third down tries. So we did get better as the game progressed. Mm-hmm. I thought that we did a very nice job in disguising some of our coverages, which allowed us to be effective on first and second down. So it was good, you know, it was good to see us keeping them out of the end zone. Over the previous 5 weeks, we'd been giving up a lot of points. We still have to work on taking the ball away. We lost the turnover battle They had one turnover on the red zone fumble that we had, and we weren't able to create any. So we've got to keep working on attacking the football and creating some turnovers so we can start winning that ratio.
Smitty, I know you lost him for better part of a month and change, but Steven Jackson, the last couple ball games, is kind of starting to show you, I think, part of the optimism you had when you got him here is a guy who can make plays on the ground, also is a valued guy in the backfield, helps out in the blocks, blitz packages and things like that. I mean, he seems to be a guy who can show you a little bit, and now he's up to speed health-wise and is doing some good things for you.
He is. Steven missed four games and plus the game that he was injured in early in the first quarter, so basically five games. So I think he's starting to get back up to speed. As you know, when you come back from an injury, Dave, it's not full speed right off the bat. You know, we're going through that process with Sean Weatherspoon right now in terms of having him get back into the swing of things of planning games. But Steven did a nice job running the football. I thought he was very aggressive in attacking the line and set up some blocks that allowed us to get some efficient runs. You know, we want to get those efficient runs that will keep us ahead of the sticks, and then we want to continue to work to get those explosive runs that will change the field position.
You mentioned Sean. You feel good about his progress and coming back from his IR return designation?
Yes, we do. I think he's not in playing game shape. Mm-hmm. The only way that you get into game shape is to play a couple of games. And, of course, Sean is a four-down player for us. And through the first two games, he played almost every snap of the ball game. So that's going to help him as we move forward. I think this mini bye came at the right time. He stunned his body for and basically in a 10-day period, 9-day period, playing the two games on a Sunday-Thursday turnaround. Allowed him to get some rest, and I think as we go into these last five, he's going to be back to the Sean Weatherspoon that we had early in the season, who we had last year.
All right, we got more coming up with Coach Smith here from Flowery Branch, including our Defend the Dome question of the week. Don't forget, you can always ask Coach Smitty a question by going to defendthedome.com. If your question's answered during Ford's Defend the Dome question of the week, you'll win a $50 gift card to the NFLshop.com. More with Dave Archer and the head coach of the Falcons from Flowery Branch after this on 790 The Zone.
Jackson flips into the end zone for the Atlanta touchdown, and it's his first rushing score as a Falcon.
Yeah, and give Joe Hawley and Justin Blaylock a ton of credit because there was no penetration on that side.
Make sure you get over to Verizon and check out Verizon Edge. It's a new plan that lets you get a new Verizon 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon. Check out Verizon Edge.
By the way, the Steven Jackson touchdowns are SunTrust Bank's shining play of the game. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? And the Falcon head coach Mike Smith with us till the bottom of the hour. Then general manager Thomas Dimitroff will be here. Let's knock out our Ford Defend the Dome question of the week, Smitty. Terry Correll from Johns Creek. All games are important, but is there a rivalry of – and I was asked – I'm asked this every time the Saints and Falcons get together. Is it the biggest rivalry of the season? And I don't know where that is from a coaching perspective. I know where it is from a fan's perspective, but how is it from your side?
Well, I think that you really don't concern yourself with rivalries.
Sure.
when you're coaching. I do know that and from a fan's perspective, from my interaction with fans, that New Orleans is the biggest rival simply because we came in the league at the same time, been in the division together. Mm-hmm. But I think you put more importance on certain games, and division games are the ones that you put the most weight on. And I don't think you can put any more weight on the Saints game than you can the Tampa game or the Carolina game. So I really think from a coach's perspective, where it's a rivalry type of situation, it's when you're playing your teams in the division.
All right, good enough. Thanks to Terry. She'll get a $50 gift card from NFLshop.com for her question.
Well, and certainly you can add on top of that the fact that usually, and certainly has been over the last 5 years, that magnifies that game because you get them twice. It magnifies the fact that you're the two teams competing usually for a division title. So that adds to the mix as well, I would imagine.
Yes, over the last 5 years, that's been – been the case, and they're usually very competitive games within 3 points or less. And I think, again, this year it basically happened that way again. One-score games, two teams that know each other well and go out and compete. And that was really good to see the way that our guys went out and competed on Thursday night. It was a very physical football game. We got some guys that were banged up on Friday and Saturday, but I think we're looking pretty good as we progress into Monday and Tuesday. I think by Wednesday we're going to be fairly healthy as we get ready for this Buffalo game, who, by the way, is coming off a bye week.
Yeah, well,
and there's that.
I mentioned that last Thursday night to Arch that the Bills were on a bye this week. Then you're going to see Green Bay, who plays Thursday this week, so they'll essentially have a couple of days going back the other way.
Yes, we run into that, and we've had some unusual things that have happened this year in terms of scheduling. But you know, when you've had the success that we've had over the last 5 years, that's going to happen. You're going to get some unique start times and some unique spacing out of games and your opponent's games as well.
Well, Smitty, here comes the last of the four AFC East matchups that you had this year, the Buffalo Bills. And you talked about their prowess defensively, their front four, namely, and Kyle and Mario Williams, their ability to get after the passer. When you've got a team that has great pass rush, and you've coached some really good pass rush teams, what as an offensive side, can you counteract a team that rushes the passer well? Can you take advantage of something they do well and kind of throw it back in their face?
Well, I think you can. I think that it starts when you face a team that rushes the passer as efficiently as they have. They're tied for the league lead in sacks, is that you've got to be able to try to slow that down by running the football. You can't just let them line up and get in their track stances and three-point stances and go. They defensive linemen that like to rush the passer and are effective pass rushers, they like to get in those narrow stances and run off the football. So I think it's going to be important that we're able to establish the run. But they've got a middle linebacker in Kiko Alonso, who ranks second in the NFL in tackles with 112. And he's also got four interceptions. So I think he's playing like a guy that will be get consideration for a rookie of the year. I really do. I think he's playing well. He's an active player. And then probably the most underrated player on their front is Kyle Williams. You know, he's not gigantic in stature, but, man, does he play the game the way that you want it to be played as a coach. I'm impressed every time we turn that video on and watch his effort from snap to whistle. He does an outstanding job. And then they've got some guys in the secondary that can make some plays. And they've done a very good job of taking the ball away through interceptions. I really believe they're one of the top teams in terms of interceptions. They're in the top 10 in turnovers, but they've done a really good job in taking the ball away. And a lot of that has to do with the pressure from the quarterback.
It's not a team you see on a fairly regular basis. I mean, this is a rotation team as it relates to the NFL schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's, what, every 5 years, essentially, that Buffalo moves on the schedule, unless you were to catch them in one of those fall years with the NFC or the AFC East, right?
Yes.
So you get them in a rotation. Last time, and I was doing some work on this yesterday, last time you played them, it was toward the end of the season. Perry Fuel was an interim coach. I think there are only five or six guys, maybe, on this roster that were there when you played them the last time. When you get into something like this and you're playing them at this stage in the season, how's your preparation go? I mean, do you start on some of this in the off season? Do you build a little book of knowledge on them and then catch up once the season starts? I mean, we're deep into the season here, and these guys have gone and played their season, and it's not a common opponent for you.
Well, and it's a new coaching staff as well. You know, Doug comes in from Syracuse, you know, has had some NFL experience, was in New Orleans with Sean. We really started because of the style of offense that they run with the rookie quarterback, E.J. Manuel. They do run some read options. So we've studied the style of offense.
We just
haven't had an opportunity to really study the players, the specific players. EJ has had some injury issues through the season, missed some games, but he's a big, strong quarterback that he takes care of the ball. He's thrown 8 touchdowns and only thrown 4 interceptions. And then they're the only team in the NFL that has 2 rushers with 500 yards or more,
right?
In Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. And they're 2 very good running backs. So they've got a very good running attack. You know, Stevie Johnson is a guy that's been a very good receiver over the last 4 or 5 years, and he's leading their team in reception. So I like their football team. When I mean I like it, I like the way that they play. They're playing hard. Mike Pettine, their defensive coordinator, who I worked with in Baltimore, worked with Rex Ryan there with the Jets, so you're going to see a lot of multiplicity in what they do. Mm-hmm. Where they're going to try to create identification issues. They're going to do some overload blitzing. There'll be times that they'll line up and 5 down linemen, 1 linebacker, 5 DBs. They even have a 3-1-7 personnel grouping that they'll line up with 3 defensive linemen, 1 linebacker, and 7 defensive backs. So then you've got to try to figure out who the known rushers are going to be with 7 DBs in the game. So Mike Pettine does a very good job in creating some illusions with his personnel package. So a lot of multiplicity. We've had to burn some extra midnight oil over the weekend just trying to get our passing rules in place for our protections. It's going to be very important for us to protect Matt this weekend.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate your time.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, that's Falcons head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. Thomas Dimitroff will be here in our second segment of the show. Don't forget, Pizza Hut's $10 any deals back tonight. Perfect for the ball game on Monday night. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. Back to Flowery Branch after this.
It's right.
The catch out of bounds at the 45, and an Atlanta first down. Kenny Vaccaro hit him.
Well, a nice protection up front to allow Ryan to wait and let this sort out.
Don't forget to get NFL Mobile, Star NFL, to get NFL Mobile from Verizon. Live NFL games Thursday, Sunday, Monday nights. How about the NFL Red Zone? Watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday. 24/7 NFL Network. Watch all day, every day. You can upgrade to the premium for just $5 a month. Never be without football. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
Falcon General Manager Thomas Dimitroff is here with us for the remainder of our hour. We got a lot of ground to cover, and we could talk a little bit about this year and a little bit about 2014 as well, Arch, but I know there are a couple things here.
Yeah, well, I've thrown this out a couple of times, Thomas, and I want to get your take. It's the first chance we've had to talk to you about it. And I think this season's been kind of a perfect storm. Is the only way to describe it in my mind. Number one, as much as you want to throw out the injuries, and I know that's a respect thing that has to be attached, can't overlook the injuries that this football team has had to deal with and had to move forward with.
As we all know, we go on and on about saying that no one wants to make excuses, and there are realities in the National Football League, or any sport for that matter, as we know. When you have starting players and explosive playmakers and star players, you know, go down, we have to deal with it and other teams have to deal with it. You hope in losing some of those players that you have some people that can step up and be sort of stopgap starters for you during the time, but you hope you're not losing those players for a long time. When you get the season-long injuries, those are when it becomes really, really difficult. Back to my earlier point about backups and starters. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with players like Julio Jones, you know, that's a difficult thing. And again, that said, you hope that you have enough in place from the creativity of your, you know, your staff to work with what they have as far as the players, and the players are stepping up, making the plays that they need to be making. You just hope it all comes together and you're able to work through and navigate through some of the tough times. Again, Smitty will say forever it's not an excuse. I will. Our owner will. There's a reality to it. And then there's also an adapting side that needs to be done. And hopefully we can get to a point of continuing to adapt more effectively going down the stretch in the last 5 games.
Okay, second part of my scenario. The injuries were one. Number two, we've had some players that, albeit counted on and to play, have not played at a high level. Now, there's different factors that factor in. Maybe some of it is because of the people that are playing around them. They're not able to play at that level. And I'm talking about anybody in particular, but there's been some players that you count on, career years, maybe last year, not so much this year. There's a lot of extenuating circumstances, but you're not getting the play out of some of the guys that you needed to have play out of.
And that's been a tough thing for us. We've talked about, you know, being that far behind in the turnover differential, and we need to continue to pop those balls loose, come up with the interceptions, whatever it may be, and you know, obviously not turn the ball over as much as possible. Playmakers are on your team to make plays. That's the way it is, hands down. You pay them to make plays, and you expect them to make plays. You're right. Other people around them have to tee them up to continue to make plays, and that's something that we've had some struggles with this year and challenges. And again, we knowing what we need to do going forward, what we need to do in future seasons is continue to have the right playmakers on this football team at all levels, along all areas and all position groupings, because that's where you are going to win the football games. It's not necessarily always on the role player to help tee it up. Your playmakers have to step up, make the big catch and make the big interception, make the big sacks and make the big blocks.
To that effect,
oh, wait a minute, let me get the last second.
Okay. There's a last one.
That's my second one.
Okay.
The last part of this, as much as we like to impart and say everybody's a guru at finding players, and you found a ton of players for this football team, let's make sure we make that point right now. But across the league, there's that ongoing battle of, if I make a decision to go with a guy, does he play at the level I need him to play at, or have I missed a little something? I think there's been some players that certainly fall into that category as well, that I think you entrusted to potentially play at a high level, and now maybe the jury's still out. Maybe we still have to wait a little bit. I don't know how long that process works, but would you agree there's some guys there that haven't stepped up in that area as well?
We talk about this all the time. Obviously, this is not an exact art, putting together a team and evaluating talent. I mean, I could wax poetic for the rest of the hour and another two on this, because I think it's a really interesting topic, and it's become more and more in vogue to follow the picking of players because of fantasy football, because of the following of the draft. And a lot of people feel that they have a vested interest because they've followed these players for a long time, and they have an idea of what they believe these players can and cannot do. I think it's interesting because from our standpoint as being team builders, and myself and Smitty as being co-team builders of this football team and ultimately pulling the tag off the board with a lot of collaborative work going on behind the scenes. And that's where I find it really interesting. I think the fan base needs to understand that as well. This isn't just about one man behind a desk with an iron fist ruling over everyone trying to determine who needs to be situated on the roster. It's about coaches being involved. It's about player personnel and scouts being involved. It's definitely about myself and Smitty being involved. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the direction of the team, and then when we decide on a specific player, it has a lot to do with many aspects. Not only is on the field talents, but also how he's going to mix in with his locker room, how he's going to fit in with our community. There are many, many things contemplated before we decide to pull that tag off the board, sign him, or whether it's in free agency or whether it's in the draft. And I think there are many things that can go awry with a player when someone doesn't necessarily step up and perform. And the responsibilities, again, are across the entire organization. This is about us making the final decision about picking the guy. It's about coaches continuing to develop the guy. It's about the player themselves, you know, stepping up to do what they need to do and to live up to their full potential. So there's a lot involved here. It's just not that simple to say that you're going to hit on a guy or miss on a guy.
To the effect and the thing that Arch talked about with the perfect storm, if you will, how does that, if at all, change the dynamic of the way you look at 2013 and what you did? Also in relationship to what I know the evolving process is, because you and I have talked about the 3 to 5 year sequencing of organizations, how the board looks in 14, how the board looks in 15. Does 2013 not being one of those uptick years affect the way 14 and 15 now play out in your mind?
I think 2013 is a season that will be looked back upon as a very contemplative contemplative overanalyzed season for us, or will be at the end overanalyzed, because we will be looking at all areas across the organization, not only obviously personnel across the entire organization. I've said this is very important going into the final few games. As Smitty has mentioned recently to you guys, it's about evaluating everyone, starting from me at the top. I've mentioned that, how we are going to approach, reapproach, redirect. This isn't just about, in my mind, the things that have changed. I've mentioned this in recent meetings. This is also about the things that haven't changed, which is also, and maybe even more important and insightful for us